Welcome, everybody, to Biblical Resources. Our gospel is the story of the temptations taken from Matthew 4, 1 to 11. It begins. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights. And afterwards he was famished. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. And he said to him, "All of these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve only him." Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Initial observations. The temptation of the Son of God is found in four documents in the New Testament. In the Synoptic Gospels, Mark 1, 12 to 13, Matthew 4, 1 to 11, Luke 4, 1 to 13, and in the letter to the Hebrews, 2, 10 to 18, and 4, 15 to 16. Mark's account is quite minimal. Matthew and Luke are very alike, although Luke has a different order, bread, mountain, temple. The temptations are a literary anticipation of the final disputes between Jesus and the Jewish leadership. See Matthew 21, 23 to 22, 46. The hidden conflict is really God versus Satan. What is at stake throughout is Jesus' vision of the kingdom of God. Old Testament background. Often in the New Testament, and especially in Matthew's Gospel, it is helpful to keep an eye on any possible Old Testament background to a particular story or scene. The temptation of the Son of God is a good example of this. The biblical citations in the story all come from Deuteronomy chapters 6 to 8. They thus come from that part of the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Old Testament, where the people of Israel are about to enter the promised land after 40 years in the desert, and Moses reflects on their experience of temptation and failure during that very period. Even the words used in Matthew reflect Deuteronomy, led, 40, wilderness, Son of God, meaning Israel, and test. There is an implied comparison. Historical Israel fails the test in the desert and emerges as unfaithful to the covenant, whereas Jesus, the Son of God, comes through successfully and models the fidelity God desires from us. The second background in the Hebrew Bible is, of course, Psalm 90. Jesus also recapitulates the temptations of Israel in the desert. Hunger, Exodus 16. Testing God, Exodus 17. And idolatry, Exodus 32. We read in Psalm 78, verses 18 to 20, they tested God in their heart by demanding the food they craved. They spoke against God, saying, "Can God spread a table in the wilderness?" Even though he struck the rock so that water gushed out and torrents overflowed, can he also give bread or provide meat for his people? What kind of writing have we here? Number one, commonly in ancient accounts, the hero is tested in some fashion before undertaking his heroic role. The test usually foreshadows realities to follow. It is not, therefore, a story about this or that moral deviation, but rather a testing of identity and role. Given that Jesus is the Son of God, what kind of Son of God will he be? Number two. Our story resembles the typical manner of robust dispute among the rabbis of the period. These often argued by firing texts from Scripture at each other. Number three. It is a symbolic tale with a deep non-literal meaning. This helps us to deal with the impossibility of seeing all the kingdoms from one mountain, or with the absurdity of Satan whisking Jesus hither and thither. New Testament foreground. The testing recounted here exemplifies the challenges faced by Jesus in his ministry. It also anticipates the final testing around the cross. The question of what kind of Son of God comes back vociferously at the crucifixion, where we read, "Then two bandits were crucified with him, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, 'You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross.'" In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and the elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'" The bandits who were crucified with him also taunted him in the same way. Matthew 27, 38 to 44. Finally, the sequence in Matthew, different from Luke's, may anticipate a future pattern in this gospel. Number one, the multiplication of the breads in Matthew 14, 13 to 21. Number two, the story of the transfiguration, Matthew 17, 1 to 13. And three, the end of the gospel on a mountain, Matthew 28, 16 to 20. What about St. Paul? We read in 1 Corinthians 10, 12 to 13. "So let the one who thinks he is standing be careful that he does not fall. No trial has overtaken you that is not faced by others. God is faithful. He will not let you be tried beyond what you are able to bear. But with the trial will also provide a way out, so that you may be able to endure it." And in 1 Corinthians 3, 18 to 19, we read, "Guard against self-deception, each of you. If someone among you thinks he is wise in this age, let him become foolish so that he can become wise. For the wisdom of this age is foolishness with God. A brief commentary. Verse 1. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit out into the wilderness to be put to the test by the devil. The desert is more a biblical motif than geography exactly, see Deuteronomy 8:2. Being tested was part of Israel's relationship with God, in reality a testing of their fidelity. The wilderness evokes Israel's experience in the wilderness. Verse 2. He fasted 40 days and 40 nights, and afterwards he was famished. 40 is an evident echo of the years in the desert, Deuteronomy 8:2, and also of the heroic fasts of Moses, Deuteronomy 9:11, and Elijah, 1 Kings 19:8. Fasting, as such, was a practice in Matthew's community in Antioch, see 6:16-18 and 9:14-15 in Matthew's Gospel. The tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." The devil is here called the tester. Thus, ironically, the purposes of the Holy Spirit are being fulfilled. Son of God echoes the title of Israel as a whole in the Old Testament. The further background here is the story of the manna in the desert. Compare Psalm 78, 18-20 above. Will this Son of God come through the testing? Some Jewish expectations identified the Messiah with a repetition of manna in the desert. Verse 4. But he answered, "It is written, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The quotation comes from Deuteronomy 8:3, where it gives the reason for the manna in the desert. Providing bread for the hungry is also a teaching in Matthew, and the printed notes give several examples. Verse 5. Then the devil took him to the holy city and placed him on the pinnacle of the temple. The holy city is a rare reference with messianic overtones. The architectural element is called literally a wing in Greek, perhaps providing a link with the citation from Psalm 91:4. Verse 6, saying to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone." The quotation comes from Psalm 91, verses 11-12. The tempter learns quickly to use scripture against someone for whom it is the word of God. The launching of textual missiles would have been familiar from rabbinic debates. Verse 7. Jesus said to him, "Again it is written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Jesus' response comes from Deuteronomy 6:16. Again, in the background lies Israel's failed testing in the desert. Compare Matthew 26:36-53. Verse 8. Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. to a very high mountain is added by Matthew and underlines the link with Moses. Again, although some echo of Moses' panoramic view of the Holy Land may be intended, see Deuteronomy 34:1-4, it is not geography which counts. For the real mountain of authority, see Matthew 28:18 at the end of the Gospel. Verse 9, and he said to him, all these I will give you, if you will fall down and worship me. Homage to Jesus himself frames this whole gospel, from the Magi to the disciples on the mountain in chapter 28. Verse 10, and Jesus said to him, away with you, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God, and serve only him. Away with you, Satan, is a very interesting phrase, which Matthew alone places here, thus making a dramatic link with the same phrase in Matthew 16:23, when Peter misunderstands radically the kind of Messiah Jesus intended to be. It reads literally, away with you, behind me, Satan. Verse 11. Then the devil left him, and suddenly angels came and waited on him. Angels indicate obliquely that some experience of the transcendent took place. Compare Matthew 28:2. Pointers for prayer. Number 1. In today's Gospel, Jesus is enticed to gratify his own needs or to perform some spectacular act in public. He rejects the temptation because he chooses commitment to his mission and dependence on his Father over any immediate gratification. We can all be tempted to go for some immediate satisfaction, but is that where true happiness lies? Have you found that sometimes it can be more life-giving to say no to your immediate desires for the sake of some long-term goal? What are the goals, aims, values which inspire you in this way? Number 2. One way of looking at this gospel is to say that Jesus went into the desert to face his demons. We all have demons we need to face, compulsions, fears, prejudices, anger, and urges that lurk within. It is in facing our demons that we can find a way to live a fuller life. Can you recall a time when you grew through facing a demon in this way? Prayer. Lord our God, in every age you call a people to hear your word and to do your will. Renew us in these Lenten days. Washed clean of sin, sealed with the Spirit, and sustained by your living bread, may we remain true to our calling and with the elect serve you alone. We make our prayer through our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen. Thought for the day. The temptations of Jesus are not at all temptations to this or that sin, but rather fundamental options which matter for the direction of his life. And Jesus was tempted in the course of his ministry to choose other ways of being God's prophet, the Messiah or Anointed One. In a less obvious way, we too can be attracted by choices which can shape the way our life unfolds. We ask ourselves, what do I live on? What's my true goal? Where is my nourishment? The human, no less than the kingdom, is more than food and drink. Only the Word of God truly nourishes and illuminates. Lord, in you we live and move and have our being, and we thank you. Help us to place you and your word at the heart of all we do, and even more, at the core of who we are. Amen. Thanks very much, everybody.